The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, it's Friday, SB Nation AM, rolling along as we get ready for NBA All-Star Weekend. Or if you're a racing fan, the Daytona 500 is this weekend as well. The All-Star game is going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. It is Team LeBron against Team Giannis. They picked their teams, last week? It's a kind of a new way of doing it. It's fun. Listen, it used to be when I was a kid, East versus West. Now it's pick teams and let's go out and have some fun. And it leads me to my point. You look at the All-Star games in Major League Baseball, and there's still like a reverence to it, right? Because the National League and the American League have kind of butted heads in terms of style. There are still, if you look around, some old school National League fans or American League fans. And the Pro Bowl for the NFL has always been just a lost game. Like, we don't really know when it should fit in the calendar. Where exactly should it be played? It's kind of an inconvenience. It's not really something you kind of look forward to, because you're dealing with the Super Bowl and Super Bowl week. So it's not a midseason break or anything like that. But the NBA All-Star game, I think, is the most fun. No defense is played. Stars can be stars. It's kind of a laid back basketball game. I always enjoy it for that reason. There's no gimmick needed in the game, although gimmicks will occur. I just like the fact that we just see the stars goof off and play basketball. Do you remember when Major League Baseball had the All-Star game that ended in a tie? It was like 2002. And then they said, listen, we don't want it to end in a tie, and we want this game to have meaning. We want this game to have value. So for a long time, home field advantage in the World Series was tied to the All-Star game winner. They don't do that anymore, but that was their thing. And remember, they used to have the slogan, this time it matters. All-Star games don't need to matter. That's not what they're there for. The reason they're All-Star games is because they don't matter. There shouldn't be any importance to it at all. There shouldn't be any importance to who wins the MVP or who actually wins the game. The only thing that matters is it a showcase for your sport? And I think the NBA All-Star game, with its focus on the stars, which is what the NBA is exactly that, a perfect showcase for its sport. Coming up, Colin Kaepernick wants what to play in the AAF? We'll tell you what it is next. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. We have another weekend of football coming up in the Alliance of American Football.
Yeah, we do. Get hyped.
Yeah, we do. Psyched. I'm starting to really get into this.
One weekend.
That's right, baby. San Diego Fleet. Do you know who they're playing this weekend?
Not a clue.
So you're not quite there yet as a fan, but you're getting close. You told me yesterday you were willing to buy a jersey.
I'm willing to buy a jersey. I have no idea.
You haven't
who
got into
playing.
The. By the way, I looked it over. And I looked at the website, and they're not doing a good – they got to do a better job with the websites. They got to update the scores. It would be nice if you could put some statistics there. Just – I don't know. Just
that's
for something.
One weekend.
You know, just get on the stick with the websites. We live in a day and age where if you're a league or your sports entity, you got to update the website. You know, it's extremely important.
Maybe so. All that info is just stuck on the beta site.
Yeah. The Birmingham Irons are playing Utah this weekend. Yeah, the beta site. What does it look like, 1994? there's a report out there from a couple of sources. Bill Polian is one of them, that said that Colin Kaepernick wanted $20 million to consider playing in this league, the AAF. And I got to be honest with you, that's disturbing to me. That bothers me. Because here's the thing, if you're Kaepernick, if you don't want to do it, say no. But don't come up with a ridiculous demand that you know is out of the ballpark of the league. That's insulting to the league. Just don't do it. Just say no. You don't have to get all arrogant about asking for $20 million. It's crazy. I'm not liking this because, listen, I'm on the record as saying I think it's silly that these NFL teams are colluding against Kaepernick. Right. When I'm watching bad backup quarterbacks in this league, I can't believe he can't find a job. And the selling point is he's not ready to play in the league, doesn't mesh with his social protest that is going to be polarizing to the fan base. When call it what it is, don't sell me that Colin Kaepernick can't play in the NFL because, well, he's just not ready. He doesn't understand the offenses. When the reality is you don't want to bring a polarizing figure onto your team and alienate half your fan base. And if you had the guts to say that because you're worried about collusion, then that would be the truth. And then we'd all go, okay, that seems to make sense. You don't want a polarizing player on your team. But everybody wants to walk down the, no, he actually is. It's not that at all. He can't play the position anymore while we hire Nathan Peterman again. This is crap. So I'm not exactly a Colin Kaepernick fan, but I'm looking at this a huge picture and thinking everybody's lying when it comes to the reason Kaepernick can't find a job. But I'll tell you this, I'm becoming less of a fan if this story is true, that Kaepernick wanted $20 million to consider in a league where the guys are getting, what, $250,000 for 3 years? There's hardly any money in this. And he wanted $20
million. Cap's got to get paid, man.
And Cap does got to get paid.
He's got to try to recoup the money that he lost being colluded out of the league.
But what, the Nike money isn't happening?
Apparently
not.
The
checks aren't clearing from Nike, Colin?
No.
Is that what this is?
I guess not. I guess that that deal wasn't lucrative enough.
Why did the league even offer him an opportunity if their image is to get players to develop into the league? Shouldn't the Alliance for American Football understand where Kaepernick is in terms of getting an NFL job, which doesn't seem like it's ever going to happen? Like, no, why don't you give it to a quarterback that actually has a chance to move up and play in the league? Because if you have a quarterback in this league, in the AAF, for example, that has a 48% completion rating, 17 interceptions to 2 touchdowns, he will get a job before Colin Kaepernick ever gets a job in the National Football League. So let's just leave it at that. What is Kaepernick doing? Like, hey, you want to play in our league? $20 million. Oh, we can't afford that. Then no. Why don't you just say no to begin with? By the way, there's another guy that turned down an opportunity for this league, Tim Tebow. Did you hear about this?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I got some thoughts on this, and I want to know if you share them. Does Tebow know something about his baseball career that we don't?
Yes.
Because he's staying in baseball, right?
He likes bus rides.
Exactly. Listen, this isn't a glamorous league by any means, but if there's one thing Tebow can do, it's play football. Like, he can run the ball. He can play football. He may not be the best NFL quarterback, but he can play the game in whatever capacity you want. You want him to run, you want him to run, throw. He can do that at this level. So he would find much more success competitively playing in the AAF than he's going to be playing for the Binghamton Rumble Ponies again, or wherever he's going to play. Unless, Ron, he knows that he's not that far away from making the Mets.
I think that's what it is.
If he thinks he's close to making the Mets, that's bigger for him than playing in this upstart league for Steve Spurrier in Orlando.
I mean, listen, he was a minor injury away from making the big league roster.
I completely believe that.
I'm not saying a minor injury because it did knock him out for the rest of the season, even though the season was practically over for him. But, you know, we're talking maybe a month away from being called up.
I completely believe that. I know the Mets would have made some maneuver or would have had at least a serious discussion about bringing him up. And I think they would have. I think they would have if he was healthy. I think he would have been a late season call up just because their season was over. And I think the Mets like to play the back page game with the Yankees in September. And because you also have the Giants, you also have the Jets, Sam Darnold was coming into town. So the back page of the New York sports papers are a big deal. And if you can win that for a day or two or three in September, when the Yankees are making a playoff push and the Giants and the Jets have started their season, oh, yeah, put Tim Tebow on your roster and see how often you get the back page of the New York sports papers. I think the Mets would have done it. And so I think Tim Tebow knows that he's pretty close to making the Mets. Because, look, let's be honest. If Tim Tebow makes the Mets and he actually plays and has an official major league at-bat, I don't care what that at-bat is. Strikeout looking. I couldn't care less. Ground out to first. Hit a home run, whatever it is. If he plays in the major leagues for any amount of time, he won. Okay, all you critics, and I'm included, he won. He beat us all. Because I laughed my tail off when I heard this story, when he was trying to play baseball. And I thought it was insulting. At the same time, it was hilarious. But if he gets an at-bat for the Mets, even in a publicity stunt just to get on the back paper, I don't care. He won. If he goes down in the official Major League Baseball statistics as having an at-bat in the major leagues, he beat us all. Because nobody thought that was going to happen.
And if he does make it, does he get to collect two pensions?
That's a great point. That's a good point.
I mean, that's pretty outstanding. I guess you've got to
have some sort of service time registered, but I think you know.
Isn't it baseball if you get called up once and if you're named to the roster and you play just one game, you get a pension for life?
I'll have to look into that. I don't know. That's a good question.
I want to say that about baseball. I don't know if that's true with other sports.
It might be in baseball. It's not true in other sports because when I worked in minor league baseball, do you ever heard of a player named Lloyd Daniels? Probably not. He kind of bounced around the NBA for a little bit. But he was a highly recruited player for UNLV way back in the day for Jerry Tarkanian, but he got caught up in drugs and he never played. But he bounced around the NBA for a while, but he was always in overseas minor league. But I remember he was on our team and he was telling me once that he's trying to get back into the league because he only needed a certain amount of games to get a pension. And he never got it. He never got back into the league again. And I always felt bad for him because that's what he was going for. He wasn't trying to get back into the league to be a star. All he wanted was, if I can get back into the league and I can play a certain amount of games, if I get that, then I'm set. I'll be getting checks for the rest of my life. And I felt bad for him because he never achieved it. But I don't know if baseball, if that's the case. But you might be right, because baseball might have a very weird and bizarre pension plan for the players that actually play. Maybe you do, and it's like one of those checks you get when you appear like on a sitcom once, and you get like $1.10 every time it airs somewhere around the world. Maybe if you have one at-bat in the majors, they give you like 35 cents a week or something like that.
All right, so here's a quick little breakdown.
Okay.
NFL, if you play three games, you're fully vested and eligible for benefits.
Three games is all you have to play in the NFL?
Sorry, three credited seasons. My bad.
Oh, three credited seasons. Okay.
I should read this. That usually helps, right? MLB, it's 43 games.
Okay, so he's got four. That's not bad, though.
Yeah, if you play half a season. Well, that's not even half a season. That's a quarter of a season.
That's not bad. If you can get man, if you're decent enough and if you're borderline decent enough, you can get 44 games in.
Yeah, NBA is 3 years.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you play 2 months of professional baseball, you're fully vested in
that. That's pretty awesome. I think that's, like I said, if you're borderline good, like, all right, you bounce around, you come up, you go down, you can get 44 games in your career.
Yeah, PGA, you have to play 15 or more tour events for 5 seasons.
That's insane. The PGA Tour pension plan, they say, is one of the best pension plans in sports. You know what that means? Mickelson, who makes $60 million a year, is just going to collect checks until he dies. Huge pension checks.
Yeah, there's no
playing on the tour.
I'm looking at NHL. There's no definition. It just says they are now able to receive a generous pension benefit when they retire.
Wow, these guys, man. Like it can't get better. Like life just can't keep getting better. You make all this money playing sports, and then they keep giving you money because you played sports. What a wonderful life if you can get it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, career change. Let's do it.
Yeah, exactly. 800-777-2907. You want to get involved in the conversation. I was fascinated yesterday with the Broncos trading for Joe Flacco. I scratched my head. 24 hours later, have I changed my thoughts? We'll have that next. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And make your tax refund go further at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's been some much-needed car maintenance delay no longer. Spend a little of your tax refund on your vehicle now and save on expensive repairs down the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts is exactly what you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. By the way, when do you get your taxes done? Because I haven't done mine yet. I always wait till the last minute.
Yeah, usually April 15th.
Yeah, that's when I do it, man. I always wait till the last second.
And every single year, I know you probably do the same thing. Every single year, it's like, you know what? Let me just knock it out right now.
I get
now.
My W-2s, and I'm like, yep, yeah, let me just bang
them
out. They're
just sitting there, and I keep looking at them, and I find reasons why I just don't want to sit down and put pen to paper yet.
I know. I do, too. I never do. I just don't do it all the time. Like, I get friends who are like, I got my tax refund. I'm like, ugh.
Now I'm even more worried.
I got to do my taxes.
I'm even more worried because You hear all these reports that no one's getting refunds.
Like, yeah, I heard that.
God,
yeah.
I don't know if I want to.
Oh, God.
I don't think I want to be disappointed again.
I haven't gotten a refund in a long time because I used to do a lot of freelance work. So, like, the freelance work would just eat up any potential refund I would get. And I was just like, oh.
Yeah, that's not so much me, but my wife.
Like, stop doing that.
My wife.
Stop doing that. Because we used to like going shopping for stuff. Like, we'd get a refund back in the day, and we'd be like, oh, let's buy a new couch or something. Now it's like,
exactly.
Stop doing the freelance work that goes nowhere.
It made me laugh when this person said it. I was calling my car payment and, paying it over the phone. Cause there was some discrepancy. I couldn't remember what it was. I'm like, yeah, this looks a little bit higher than normal. And, I had to work out the details and stuff like that. Anyways. She decided to remind me that, when I get my tax refund, I could totally put it towards my car, because it could help pay it off sooner.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I told her, I said, man, that is a fantastic idea, but it's not going to happen because I don't like making this payment anyways. You think I'm going to throw extra money at it? Come on now.
Oh, no. Come on now. Let's be serious.
Yeah.
Well, good point.
I almost wanted to ask her, like, would you do it? If you got a good refund,
no, good point.
Are you going to put it towards your car payment? Because I'm pretty certain that you probably have one as well, because everyone has a car payment.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, let me just
no doubt.
Throw it towards, extra insurance. Why not?
All right, so yesterday I did a lot on the Flacco to the Broncos trade, and I'm still 24 hours later. I got to be honest with you, I'm still massively perplexed by this. Now, yesterday I got to admit it was more of a knee jerk reaction type of thing, and I said, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. Instead of researching all the details, I'm going to do tomorrow just my gut feeling. And then I'll do the research, and maybe there'll be a silver lining somewhere that I've missed. And then I'll come on Friday and I'll say, you know what? Yesterday it was just emotional. It was a reaction after spending 10 years covering that team, after, watching John Elway get the job. I've met John Elway a number of times. I was very happy he got the job when I was, in 2011. Fine. I was happy with it. But then, yeah, so, you know, with him getting the job. But yesterday, I was like, this is insane. This is terrible. What an awful deal. 24 hours later, I still think it's an awful deal. I didn't find anything
that made me go, lining?
Oh, you know what? This makes sense. Oh, this is going to free up this. Or, oh, I get it. This is, oh, no, nothing. There was nothing I could find. Everybody has the same thought as I do, which is, what are they doing? What is he doing? Why is he trying to pull this off? Why is he trying to play the smartest guy in the room when everybody knows Flacco is a declining quarterback? And you're actually, as bad as Case Keenum was last year for the Broncos, Joe Flacco's statistics last year were worse. And there's no way to spin that. And going into this season with a guy who's his first year being an offensive coordinator, a defensive-minded head coach, there's no reason to think that Flacco is walking into a situation where he's just going to be a better player. Like, oh, maybe in Baltimore, it just wasn't going to work out for him. He's going to go to Denver and it's going to be this pretty much the same thing. So I can't figure this out for the life of me. And listen, I think when I was talking about this yesterday, I'm still going to ride with this, which is this idea that Elway is trying to figure out a way, any way he can, to not have a losing season. This Flacco thing doesn't make him a Super Bowl champion. I don't think that's what he's looking for. It doesn't make them competitive in terms of getting a one or a two seed in the AFC unless something crazy occurs. But I think Elway is very concerned about them having another 5-12 year, a 5-11 year, or 4-12 season, and that is three straight years of losing years, which hasn't happened for a very, very long time in the Broncos' history. And I don't think he wants to be at the helm of something like that.
See, for me,
and so I think bringing in Flacco, he goes, I think I can avoid that. Maybe he's good enough to go 8-8.
For me, the Flacco deal right now is TBD. Because I think it all rests on what they do in the draft. If they do go after a, which still to me doesn't make any sense why you would do this, but if they go, if they get their, you know, they get their next franchise quarterback at 10, right? Then I can start to sit there and go, okay, you know, well, Flacco's had a lot more starting experience. Maybe that's what it is, bringing in a true veteran quarterback who has won a Super Bowl. Who knows how to get at least, you know, get his team to the game, even though we all know it was the defense that got them there. And you have your franchise, you know, if it's Drew Lock, you have him sit and, you know, and just hold a clipboard for that first season or, you know, for the first 10 games or whatever. And maybe it's easier for Elway to say, you know, after a certain amount of time, Flacco's doing terrible because that's what's going to happen with Flacco. Then you insert the guy and it's like, okay, no harm, no foul. But why wouldn't you do that?
Why wouldn't you just do that with Case Keenum?
Exactly. And why would you take on his salary? I mean,
that's right. Like, you're paying him $18 million. You're going to pay him $18 million next year. You're not getting around that. There's no reason for Flacco. Like Sean Drotas told us yesterday, there's no reason for Flacco to restructure his deal. But none of the money is guaranteed. So Flacco could restructure the deal for years 2 and 3 because none of it's guaranteed. But the $18 million pretty much is if the Broncos are going to play him.
Yep.
Right. So if the Broncos are actually going to use him, then it's $18 million. There's no other way around it. And if they use him next year, it's like $20 million. And if they use him the next year, it's like $24 million or whatever it is. So there's no other way around it. Flacco could restructure his deal if he wants a little bit of security, meaning I'll restructure this if you keep me playing 2 or 3 years down the road. You know,
I'll
take some money on the front end,
yeah.
But if you keep me on the roster, obviously we don't want these dollars. I'll restructure. I want a job. You want a quarterback. You want a quarterback that's got some value to you for the bottom line. Let's restructure. Give me some money on the front end, et cetera, however they want to work it. But the reality of it is that you're going to pay a guy $18 million. You're going to have to sell this. And if you're selling it as a stopgap measure, that you're putting yourself in a, you're putting yourself in some financial strain when you've got some free agency needs. Like they could use some help on the offensive line. Last year's offensive line wasn't that good. Garrett Bowles was a guy that had some trouble last year. They like him because they like him because he's got some, he's got talent that's not defined. He's a very undisciplined player, but they'd like to get some more beef on the offensive line. But you're strapping yourself by bringing in this quarterback for $18 million. I don't want to listen. Elway's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. But
yep.
If there's some hubris here, where he is again looking at Flacco and going, "Well, I don't know why you guys can't see it, but I see a diamond in the rough." Well, then explain it. Then explain it, because the statistics and the numbers aren't there. The results aren't there, right? Everyone's now commenting on Elway likes tall quarterbacks. How about tall quarterbacks that can play? Okay, how about Paxton Lynch was tall. He couldn't play.
Brock.
You drafted him in the first round. Brock Osweiler was tall, right? And you, for whatever reason, you tried to fit that round peg into the square hole. Like, that wasn't going to work either. So it's still fascinating to me. That this deal, 24 hours later, people are still scratching their head going, Oh, John, what are you doing? All right, coming up, let's go to some NBA. And Scottie Pippen talked about LeBron James and what he said next.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You ever thought to yourself, hey, I'd like to go to Arizona for some spring training baseball? Maybe you live in a cold weather climate, and you're like, wow, I could just use some sunshine and some baseball. Oh, well, then you need to enter to win to get a trip to the Cactus League Baseball in Arizona. It's the SB Nation Radio Spring Training Getaway, and it's presented by Talking Stick Resort. Winner will receive a two-night stay at the luxurious Four Diamond Talking Stick Resort in Scottsdale. Two tickets to see both the Cubs versus the Rockies and the Brewers versus the Diamondbacks. They'll play March 23rd and 24th at Salt River Fields. $500 Visa gift card. Head to springtraininggetaway.com and enter today. That's springtraininggetaway.com. Listen, this place is fantastic. I've been there. It is great. You get a beautiful view of the desert, some great dining options, several lounges. You got two championship golf courses, a 650-seat showroom with live entertainment, state-of-the-art casino. Hey, that's awesome. Outdoor pools and a 13,000-square-foot luxury renovation spa. And right now you can save 15% off the best available rate by using code ROC at TalkingStickResort.com. So check it out. Come down there. Go see some baseball, but enter to win at SpringTrainingGetaway.com. I love spring training baseball. I kind of miss taking trips. I used to love going to Arizona for the Rockies. I would like to kind of do that again. My parents live in Florida, so maybe one time I'll take a little mini vacay and go down and see some spring training baseball.
Now, have you ever been to the spring training in Florida?
I have.
Because I'm just curious, like, how the stadiums, I just feel like the stadiums down there would be a little bit more old-timey.
Yeah, they are old-timey. They are getting better. Like, the Braves play at a facility at Disney World, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, because I know you've been to Arizona. The stadiums out there are ridiculous.
They are ridiculous.
I was like, oh my God, really?
They are ridiculous. Now, High Corbett Field in Tucson was kind of a dump, but they moved. Tucson. That's what the Rockies said, we're getting out of here. And they went to Scottsdale. And when we went to Scottsdale for Rocky spring training, oh God, a couple years ago. Well, years, I mean, when I was out in Colorado, so early 2000, that facility, Talking Stick, was unreal how great that was. Unreal how nice that was. That, I mean, because, again, if you go to some of the older, I don't want to say run down, that's not fair, but you know, listen, they're spring training facilities. What do you want from them, right? Like these places in like Lakeland, Florida, and, you know, Clearwater, Florida. They're nice, but they're not anything to call to write home about. And now they're putting in these places that are just beautiful.
Yeah,
just beautiful.
I haven't been to any spring training games in Florida, but I just get the sense that it's a few steps above your local park.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but when in Arizona, I mean, the training facilities are incredible. I mean, they look like I mean, they're, you know, they're state-of-the-art training facilities. I mean, the fields are manicured, and, you know, no one else can touch these fields except for that team. It's just, you know, and then this, when you get to the stadium itself, when we lived in Arizona, we went to a lot of Padre games. And the reason for that is because the Padres shared, I can't remember who they, I think they shared they shared stadium space with the White Sox, maybe. I don't know. I can't remember. But we, the reason why we went to the Padres, which is in Peoria, Arizona, which is, you know, just a suburb of Phoenix, they had this huge, huge grass field. And, you know, we had two young kids. And, I mean, how great was that? Just sit on this grass lawn that's in the stadium and just let our kids run rampant.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And that way we can just watch. And, you know, we threw down a blanket. And it was like, you know, like picnic style for us. And the kids just got to run around and do what they wanted.
You know what's so funny is that, like, NFL fans complain about preseason games. Like, oh, I hate these. They're part of my season ticket package, and I hate them, and I don't want to go, and I can't even give these stupid tickets away. And, like, the NBA is like, you know what? We're going to take our games, preseason games, and we're going to just play them in some arenas that, where you don't get NBA basketball just to get
that
people to
overseas.
Show up.
We're going to go to China.
Yeah, we'll just play these games where people, like, are just dying for it because they don't get it on a regular basis. And people in baseball make vacation plans to go see their team, and a lot of it is because of the weather, don't get me wrong, but there is an emotion that is attached to spring training that the other sports just can't duplicate. Like, they just can't recreate. We want the NFL season to start, but when it starts in the preseason, we like, ugh. But the NFL, but the Major League Baseball, when you see the sights of Florida, when you come home, like if you're home in the afternoon and you see a game in Arizona or something like that. Like, it's, there's some weird, like, feel good attraction to that.
Well, it's
that we like. It's really great.
It's because it's springtime.
Yeah.
It's a rebirth. It's a renew. And that's something that baseball will always have going for them. And we love opening day, opening week in baseball, because it's almost feels like the start of a brand new sports year.
Yeah, and it kind of brings in a good weather and the start of the year. There's something like, you know, that kicks up.
Good things are happening. The problem with baseball is that by the time you get to the summer, you're like, okay, you know, now I just want to see the best teams play. I want to get to the championship now, because it's a long, long season.
Yeah, last year I remember there was a snow. I was living in New Jersey and there was a snowstorm in March, and I had I was so stupid. I was trying to get out of my driveway and I had like a snowdrift and I thought I could blast through it. Instead, I got caught and I was spinning the car and my driveway was on the side of this little hill, and my car ended up sliding down this hill and was not going back up the hill to go to the driveway. We tried everything to give it some momentum. We couldn't. It got stuck. So I was home for the day. It was no car. I couldn't do anything. And the Yankees were playing. And I don't forget who they were playing, but I was watching. I just spent the afternoon watching Yankees baseball. Snow outside, cars stuck in a snowbank, and I'm watching this game in Tampa. Like, this is great. Palm trees,
perfect weather, and that's
short sleeves and shorts and honestly, sunshine. It was fantastic.
If you're gonna go to Arizona, the best time to go to Arizona is in spring.
Oh, it totally
weather,
is.
I mean, it's
totally is.
It, when you step outside in Arizona in the springtime, it's refreshing.
Yep.
That's all I really remember. Beautiful. Is you take a deep breath and you're like, there's a little bit of a chill in the air in the morning, but you know it's going to warm up just enough, not to the point where it's going to get too hot, but it warms up just enough that it's comfortable all day long.
So again, springtraininggetaway.com. Go see some Cactus League Baseball at a beautiful resort, Talking Stick Resort, beautiful place.
Yeah, you won't be disappointed.
All right, Scottie Pippen was on First Take, had this to say about LeBron James, and let me just preface this. Pippen's got an agenda here, but here's what he had to say about LeBron James, comparing him to Michael Jordan.
When I look at LeBron, he's not what Michael was as a player. He's not even what Kobe Bryant was as a player. So when you talk about trying to compare Michael's instinct, his ability to take over games, his ability to want to have that last shot.
And demoralize you. And,
yes.
And scare the living hell out of you.
LeBron doesn't have that gene.
So, Scotty.
That's not in him.
Okay, so basically what he's saying is there's a competitive nature that Michael had, that Kobe had, that LeBron doesn't have. Okay, listen. I don't exactly disagree with that, but here is why I don't think it's as obvious as Scottie Pippen tends to make it. I watched LeBron James take two NBA teams to the finals, literally had where his teammates were literally kicking and screaming not to go. And LeBron grabbed them and dragged them to the finals. 2007, when he was a young kid. And then one time with the Cleveland Cavaliers, it was like either last year or the year before. You can talk about, look, Michael Jordan had a competitive streak that is, he's well known. Still has it, right? People talk about the golf. People talk about the ping pong. People talk about everything else, even in basketball.
Hall of Fame speech.
Playing horse. Yeah. It's Hall of Fame speech. He still has it. Listen, and that's a great trait. But the idea that LeBron isn't competitive or does, when he's on the court, just, I don't care. If we win, we win. It doesn't matter. I've never seen that from LeBron when it matters the most. Does LeBron pace himself during the regular season? Yeah. So in that regard, is he okay with maybe a stretch of games where the team's not playing particularly well, but he knows they'll fix it? Yeah. Did Michael have that? No. I don't remember Michael ever having that with the Bulls. I think Michael really wanted 72 wins. I think Michael really wanted, to win every single game, no matter where he was, no matter where the team was. LeBron is totally okay with coasting through a segment of the schedule. He's okay with pacing. He's okay with not putting mileage on until the postseason. Kobe and Michael didn't have that, where if you're on the court, you're there to win. You're there to get the best of your opponent. You're not giving away a game. You're not giving away. You're not looking ahead. You play that night and you let the chips fall where they may in terms of how it affects your body on the next night. And LeBron, to Scottie's credit, LeBron doesn't have that. LeBron has gone, if I coast to coast. But when push comes to shove, when I need it the most, when I need to win, I'm going to win games. I'm going to go to the playoffs and win games. And that's where I think Scottie trying to do that whole, man, my guy is better than your guy argument to try to kind of win over a crowd or win over a moment, I think is exaggerating this a little bit.
Yeah, what I would say is this. I don't think LeBron is a cold-hearted assassin.
No.
In the same sense that, Jordan was. And we've seen it. I mean, I think later in his career now, LeBron is more apt to take the ball, take that final shot. But there, we questioned it all the time. He had no problems, passing it off, early in his career. And when Jordan came to the league, it was him or nobody else. If you didn't give him the ball, you were going to get in trouble.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
right. The only time you were allowed to take the last shot is if he passed it to you and gave you that okay.
And, I've always said with LeBron, because listen, this is a fun debate. It's a fun barstool kind of debate. And I get it, but when people go down this road of, well, Michael played in a different kind of game, I've always said, look, if LeBron had to play in that game, he would.
Yes.
He would. Don't think LeBron playing in a different, less physical NBA, that LeBron couldn't do that if the circumstances warranted that. If LeBron was put in that time period, and that's the NBA he grew up knowing, he would have adapted his game to fit into what that NBA was. The fact that he doesn't have to play in an NBA like that is more on the NBA than it is LeBron. LeBron didn't shape the NBA to him. He shaped him to whatever the NBA was. If it was more physical 20 years ago, so be it. But LeBron, if you moved him back 20 years, would have been just as physical as any other player in the league.
Yeah, because he would have had to have been.
He would have had to have been.
Adapted to that. Just as much in the same sense that we can say if Michael Jordan was playing today, maybe he wouldn't have been as physical.
Maybe so. Exactly.
He would have needed to be.
Exactly. Maybe so. Listen. I get it. The argument with LeBron about the character, the kind of the not having the assassin characteristic is, you look at his finals record and it's it's not 6-0. It just isn't, right. But he's also he has also done something I think was pretty remarkable in that he has taken some teams that have gone in the postseason where you're like, well, the Celtics should be better. And he said, no, I'm still going to win this. I'm still going to take it over.
Last
we never
year.
Talked about it. When Michael finally got things going with the Bulls, and remember, he was in the league since in 1984, and he couldn't win, and he couldn't beat the Celtics, and he couldn't beat the Pistons. And he finally did, and when he did, he won 6 out of 8 with a gap in the middle where he played baseball. LeBron literally got to the finals within a couple of years after getting into the NBA and then realized I may have to team up with somebody because nobody's teaming up with me here in Cleveland. listen, Michael had Scotty, right? No one debates that. No one debates that tandem. It certainly helped Michael Jordan when he was struggling with the Bulls in the 80s against dominant teams in the Eastern Conference. So I don't blame LeBron for realizing where the NBA was in terms of needing superstars around him. Larry Bird needed superstars. Magic Johnson needed superstars. Nobody wins in the NBA by themselves. It's not one star and a bunch of also-rans. Those aren't NBA champions. That's not how the league works. So I don't blame LeBron for that at all. But his final record isn't going to stack up. And there's always going to be Michael supporters like Scotty that are just going to put down LeBron's game because it helps make their case, even if their case doesn't really need help being made. We'll talk more about this coming up, 800-777-2907. If you agree with Scottie Pippen or don't, you can also hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, and at Ron Culver, and spell Ron with two N's, please. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. I'm talking about Scottie Pippen's comments about LeBron James not having the the clutch gene that Michael and Kobe had. You know, I always found that debate fascinating it's a fun debate that's never really going to get answered. And it really is because it's generational. It's hard for people who didn't grow up with a particular athlete. And I don't care who that athlete is, whether it's Joe Montana, whether it's Joe DiMaggio or whatever. If you don't grow up with that person in your everyday sports life, it is hard to say that guy is better than whoever's the best at the time you're living, right? It's just a difficult thing to do. Like my son, for example, he's 17, and his whole life has been Tom Brady's the best quarterback in the NFL. If I sat him down and even showed him video of Joe Montana, it still wouldn't register because he doesn't have context. He doesn't remember like weeks building up to, oh my God, we got to play Joe Montana, or oh my God, the Super Bowl and Joe Montana. Like he'll just see highlights. And it's the same thing in the LeBron Michael Jordan debate. If you grew up and it's all you've seen is LeBron James in the finals, whether he wins or loses, if you just see that all the time, I can show you YouTube clips of Michael Jordan. You could be fascinated by them, and you could find them to be awesome, and you could find them to be thrilling and exhilarating and all of those things, but you don't have context. You don't have you won't have the feeling of what it was like to see the dominance of the Bulls night in and night out, and what we were dealing with every single day on how good those teams really were. All you're going to see is just a bunch of history dumped in your lap without any feeling of emotion. I think that's why this debate is fun, but it's really hard to sort of settle.